You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
نام سان خبيبه اني من نوخن لين الشميه بيت ميقرا ميلان ماكسيموفيتش اه إليخا برسوبا عودا و إليخا سندانا قا شوتابوتا اطوريتا سيدني و كيبال قشيوتا قا هيرتا بريشايت قا جوسانا و توتاوي و إلي برسة تمزم خمو ات مضيلا بوت ترمياتي ين بروجيكس بلاخل اللي قيوترانا ات شوتابوتا ميلان ماكسيموفيتش ان اكتيفست a hard worker and a supporter for refugees and especially a Syrian community. Welcome to the SBS program.
Thank you, dear Ninas, for welcoming me today, and I would like to say good afternoon to listeners.
First of all, Milan, for those people who don't know you, haven't heard about you before, can you please let us know who is Milan Maksimovic and what has motivated you to be working so hard for the refugees and particularly for the Assyrian refugees?
So I come as a refugee from former Yugoslavia myself. So I'm a Serbian refugee from Bosnia. So I left my country 20 years ago. And Assyrians are my family. I'm married to a Syrian lady called Hilda Yukana Gavarneta. So she came as a refugee from Iraq 25 years ago. And what really motivated us is seeing that persecution is still happening, especially when ISIS was attacking in the years 2015. We really felt sorry for people, especially Assyrians, brothers and sisters. And when first refugees start coming in 2016, we got involved. Actually, I was contacted by some people from SSI, and they asked me if I could organize in 2016 some event for Christmas, which we actually welcome around 40 families. This was the first time that I met Syrian refugees, and what motivated them, I still keep contact with some of those people, some of them live in Liverpool and some of them live in Fairfield, is they actually shared terrible stories with me. Some of them told me that some of those ladies were ISIS prisoners, some people told me how they lost their family members, and I met one lady, elderly lady, who lived only 1 month in Australia because she lost her son, and she was very sad for losing her son, said that she couldn't bear this. So this all touched our hearts because we experienced persecution, me and my wife, but also seeing this what happened with the Syrian refugees in 2015 really motivated us to be involved.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you do, Milan, is a great job, and it requires a lot of time and efforts and sacrifices, but at the same time, there is a lot of money involved. So where do you get your support from? What organizations really help you in fulfilling your projects?
Yes, I'm actually involved with different charity organizations and also with churches, and also helped that I was running in the federal election in 2016 for McMahon, and also helping that I was running in the local election for the Fairfield. So people know me, and I was active in some other developments. So those different organizations, when I was approaching them, actually, I was very quickly welcomed, and some of them is Barnabas Fund. So Barnabas Fund and also my friend Jude Simeon was the one who was helping other Syrian organizations as well. And he was also happy with the project that I was doing. So some other organizations that donated is Refugees Highway Ministries. So we have Anglicare. We have also Food Bank who is also sponsoring us. And, of course, the United Orthodox Brotherhood, which I am part of, it donated some funds. Also, when we go to different churches, I visit different churches, I always get different donations. Most of the time, donations are with the food items, because I do a lot of talks at those churches, and I did presentations, and I brought some refugees with me. And very quickly, people will collect either items or they will make some donations. And also, me and my family used to support different Christian and charity organizations before, and now we use that money, our money actually, to finance projects as well.
Milan, something is worth mentioning here is that on the occasion of the Assyrian Martyrs' Day, you posted something on Facebook where you're showing you and your son carrying the Assyrian flag. You gave the Assyrian flag to your son and you laid the wreath on the Assyrian Martyrs' Monument. That video, it's actually went very viral or had a lot of views and likes all around the world, in Assyrians all around the world. And I believe personally that it is something symbolic that you did, and you paved the way to many viewers, especially Assyrians, to get their children and make them participate in occasions like this and do what you have done, which is the respect for the martyrs. Tell me, what made you think of that and participate in this day?
Yes, remembering Assyrian Martyrs' Days is very important. We need to remember Assyrian, Armenian, and Greek genocide that happened to our brothers and sisters. And also, it's important to know that this persecution is still happening. And we see persecution for Coptic and even Serbian people, you know, Nigerians, and many others. So we need to bring awareness of this big issue. I was just looking at some details that later statistics are showing that around 90,000 to 100,000 Christians get killed every year, in average, which is probably much more some years. And what was very important for us, for me and my family, especially my wife, she spends a lot of time explaining to our son about what happened in the Syrian genocide, because both of her grandparents are orphans from the genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And also in August 1914, I have lost my great-grandfather in the First World War, and I'm invited actually by Serbian ambassador to attend special occasions in a couple weeks commemorating 100 years of ending the First World War. So we come, both of us, from the families that we saw this persecution and we lost family members. And for us, it's very important that we teach our son and that we show the respect. And my wife said, let's go and put flowers to the Assyrian monument. And she was actually the one that she was taking that video. I was not even aware what's happening. And later she told to me how actually end up symbolic after our son Christian put flowers, and actually as I was handing a Syrian flag from my hand to my son's hand, and many people around the world saw that as a symbol of, you know, passing the legacy to the future generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that we all do this. And it's very important also, I'm glad that, you know, I am a Serbian and my wife is a Syrian, and we come from the same suffering. Maybe it's time for all of us to unite, not just for Assyrians to, you know, to suffer by themselves, because Serbians, you know, and Coptics should support Assyrian and other way around.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Going back to your hard work on your projects, there are a few, I believe, few projects in the pipeline. And I remember a few days ago when you were talking, we spoke about you have a plan. You're looking at the unemployment rate at in Liverpool and Fairfield areas, and also you have plans for English language lessons. If you can tell us more, shed some light on these projects.
Yes. One of the things that really helped me when I got involved as a political activist, I was looking into statistics, and plus I live in this area for a very long time, over 15 years, and I can see how people are struggling to find jobs. So I did the research And I found out that actually it's very sad for our area, for Fairfield and Liverpool area, almost all Western city, Sydney, we have one of the highest unemployment rates, and government is almost doing nothing about this to help those people. And another issue that we have is that new migrants are having difficulties to learn English language. There are a lot of programs, government putting money, but those programs are not working, because we're talking to people that are saying most of those like Navitas or other places, actually people are not spending enough time to teach them conversations. So what we started actually 2 years ago is a lot of churches. I have now four churches, and I'm preparing another two churches that are providing English lessons, almost one-on-one, and it's conversations. So they are actually, I visited one of them today in Smithfield, dropped some hampers, and I saw the class, and they were teaching them how to engage in conversation in shopping. Mm-hmm. So other topics are how to engage in conversation when you go to Centrelink or for the job interview. So what we also help them to prepare their resumes and to find the jobs, because I believe from my own experience, because when I came in this country, didn't have good knowledge of English language, and what helped me, I was able to find job very quickly, because jobs help people to integrate.
That's
job
right.
Helps people to learn language.
That's correct.
Because you cannot learn language at home. Mm. I was living in a Serbian family, talking to my parents only Serbian language. When I go out, you know, I don't even need to talk much English. I just go shopping. But when I went to jobs, I had to push myself to learn language and to practice. And I, to be honest with you, my language, English, was not that good, but I got so encouraged, because people were always encouraging me. They said, Milan, you're doing well, you're progressing well. So we need to help those people, to encourage them, to help them to find jobs, to make them feel at home in Australia.
Mm, that's great. On Thursday, the 23rd of August, around 14 new arrivals from Syria and Iraq had a special surprise, and that was the hampers that you and gifts and toys that you actually delivered to them. That's taking us back to Christmas last year when we had an interview, and you spoke about how you and your son and your wife spend hours and hours under the intense heat of summer in the garage, preparing and all these hampers and all these gifts and wrapping them to be able to deliver them. Tell us about the reaction of people for this last round of your gifts that you did on the 23rd of August.
Yes, I'll just mentioned, yes, that we did for Christmas around 500 hampers, mm. and for Easter around 200, and we're actually developing a plan to deliver this year 1,000 Christmas hampers through different churches. But equally for us, it is important that we have something on the weekly basis, so that people in the need, looking, they feel like, you know, they don't have enough items, they don't have enough food, that they can come. But also equally important, they can come and spend some time with us, because we also provide coffee and tea and cakes, and a lot of children start coming, and we start providing toys. And children were so happy. The children are so happy to receive the toys. But what is amazing is two actually stories. One of them is that preschool from King's Road, they just found out about what we are doing. They are not even in our area. They are northwest, and they just found from the media releases what we are doing, and they invited us to pick up some food hampers. They prepared 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And these are children between age 3 and 5. And another fantastic story is that one of my Serbian friends, she lives in the North Shore, and she's heavily pregnant, and she had a dream, like just 2 days before that Thursday, about giving presents to those refugee kids. And she got a lot of toys, and she just came within 2 days. So that was like almost like a miracle that, you know, she came and she gave presents, and those kids were so happy. Like when we see the happiness in children, and you know, when you see their parents, you know, coming to us and talking to us and thanking us, and I really feel that we are not just their friends. I feel now part of the big Assyrian family, big family of the refugees that I belong to. So it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing for that lady from the North Shore, pregnant, and to drive all the way from there to bring these presents to help your cause, which is a very noble cause. Milan, what are your near future and far future projects and plans?
So I'd like to be involved, you know, with other communities as well. So I'm invited for tomorrow to be part of the humanitarian event, which also United Orthodox Brotherhood will help to collect funds, to raise some money for orphans in Syria. And most of those orphans, of course, they lost their parents in the war, and most of them are in hospitals, they're injured, and we need millions and millions of dollars to help those people in Syria. But what we can do, we can just help, you know, those orphans, the people that need help the most. Another project that I just start working on is to help one of my Serbian cousin with humanitarian event, to raise money for another orphanage for disabled children in monastery in Serbia. So another thing that it's developing is that I have already registered as independent candidate for a prospect state seat, and we expect to have a next state election in March 2019. But the most work that we do is based on the humanitarian work. And what I would like to mention is also, it's very important when we are activists or, you know, a lot of people are involved in community leadership. It's important that those people and we all together work all the time, not just 5 weeks before election, but work all the time. It doesn't matter if somebody is elected or not elected. If you are a community worker, if you care for the community, there are a lot of projects. And we know that government most of the time does great job, but they cannot do everything because it's so much to do. So I invite everyone from all communities, from all community leadership levels to be involved, to help, because there is a great need.
That's great. Milan, I would love to be with you and talk to you for hours and hours because it's very interesting. And what you do and your family is a great cause and it's a noble cause. But I really appreciate the time that you gave us and you shed some lights on your work and your projects. And this is not the last time. I'm sure that we're going to have more interviews and we'll talk more about other things that are coming. Thank you very much for your time. Any last comments you have to put in, you want to say?
I just would like to thank you, Ninas, personally, and also Wilson and SBS Radio, especially SBS Assyrian, because SBS Assyrian is actually one of my biggest supporters, and every time when I call you, you actually gave me opportunity to share what you're doing. And of course, I would like to thank all listeners for their time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.